Well, it is great to be with you here at St. Timothy's. I've been a bishop of the diocese for about 9 months, and it is really a great pleasure and a joy to be able to come to be with you in worship and come to learn more about your ministry here in this place and at this time. I am so grateful to your rector, James, for his ministry as your priest, your pastor, your teacher. He's done so much good work in determining God's calling for the parish of St. Timothy's for here and now, and as we start to look towards the future. I'm also grateful to Deacon Lillian for her presence and for her amazing ministry of pastoral care as a deacon. She will be retiring at the end of this year, but I wanted to say how appreciative I am of her ministry and her response to the calling of a deacon. It is great to be with all of you here this morning. So John the Baptizer, this is someone who just doesn't seem to mess around. He doesn't gently raise a topic, he barges straight ahead into it. He's not passive-aggressive, he's just plain aggressive. He calls a spade a shovel, or the crowds who came to him to hear him a brood of vipers. He's annoying, he's pestering. You know how they say for people that when you go to a party or a family gathering, one should never or should always actually avoid the topics of religion and politics. Well, John doesn't care about that. He's all about barreling ahead and talking about both at length, in detail, with strength and not caring about any of the etiquette. Just the person you want at your Christmas party. But here he is in our Christmas preparations, for he's a main character in Advent. He didn't care about what others saw as appropriate. He was quite happy to unsettle anyone and everyone. If you believe in God, show it, reveal it, live it. Don't mess around, just get on with it, he might have said. It needs to change you. It needs to mold you, form you. He was not your middle-of-the-road, comfortable Christian. And I can't help but like him. Last week, he was talking about preparing the way of the Lord, making paths straight, filling valleys and lowering mountains, straightening the crooked and smoothing the rough. It was all lovely and poetic. The metaphors were stirring, capturing an enigmatic description of God coming to us, offering a contemporary art kind of imagery. But today, he blows all that poetic prose out the window and says, okay, here's what it will look like. This is what the bulldozer looks like. And it's not pretty, but it gets to the heart of how we might live in response to God coming amongst us. He said, bear fruits worthy of repentance. He said, if you have two coats, share with anyone who has none. He said, if you have food, offer some to someone who has none. He said, don't extort money from anyone. Find some satisfaction in your wages. He said, get ready to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. He might have said, see the kingdom of God is at hand. And keep praying with me, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Faith in the God of love to him was not something that sat on the shelf looking pretty, but involved taking a coat off your back and getting mustard on your fingers as you offer a sandwich to a stranger. Faith was not comfort food for him, but a call to action. In one of the parishes that I served, we would regularly have a visit to the office by this elderly man who looked pretty rough. He'd lived on the streets for many years. He didn't like many other people. He wasn't polite. He could get angry. He could swear. He could be demanding for help. But for years, he'd been coming to Anglican churches in particular, it seems, hoping to get some help with food and anything else he might need to survive a day or a week. I'll call him Harry. Not his real name, but perhaps it suits him. After a few difficult encounters with Harry, where he yelled at members of the staff team, frightened some of the children and parents who had come to the preschool in the church building, and was so angry and loud it was impossible to tolerate, Harry and I came to a deal. "Harry," I said, "we need to get something sorted." He didn't think we did, and only scowled at me. "You can only come to the church on Tuesday mornings, and at this certain time, and we will help you out, otherwise we won't." Expecting fireworks, I cringed a little bit to see what the reaction would be. "Okay," growled Harry, and so we had a deal. And he stuck to his end of the bargain, and I stuck to mine. And every Tuesday morning, Harry would arrive and we would offer him a number of things that he might need to get through the next few days. Well, it was not long before the office volunteer, Betty, started to make a sandwich for Harry and ensure that the coffee was on when he arrived. She would pour his coffee, add a little bit of milk and a lot of sugar, and stir the cup with great care, and then bring it to Harry. As time went along, Betty started to make sure that she had a roast for her Sunday dinner to ensure that Harry would have a really good sandwich come Tuesday. A ham, a roast beef, or roast lamb, all carefully prepared. She would lovingly put the sandwich on a plate and bring it to Harry with a huge smile and say, "Here you go, Harry. It's great to see you." Harry was grateful. Well, as grateful as this street-hardened, life-battered Harry would want to show. "Thanks, Mary," he would say, even though we tried to correct him many a time that actually her name was Betty. "Thanks, Mary, you're really good to me," he offered one day. This went on for weeks, months, even a couple of years. I've thought about this scene for many a year. Harry was a no-nonsense, angry, frustrated, lonely, homeless man who did not want to change any of this for the world. But somehow Betty saw in him the gospel according to John the Baptizer, a gospel of recognizing the Christ, the presence of Jesus Christ. Not just in those stained glass windows of his birth in a barn with gold-clad angels floating in and out, but in the real humanity of this world. Betty seemed to see what many others failed to see, that faith in the love of God is not just a nice slogan for a website, but sometimes involves a coffee with 4 spoonfuls of sugar and roast beef on a Sunday night. Today, in the aftermath of flooding and fires and unbearable heat, as other dire warnings echo around our planet because of the way we have abused it and continue to steer around any solution, where Indigenous people are seeking to be seen as full human beings, and the concept of reconciliation is actually lived, where drug overdoses are skyrocketing and little seems to be happening to change that. Where vaccines are plentiful in some parts of the world and very scarce in others. Where racism and fear of the stranger is regularly seen. The words of John the Baptizer once more come showering upon us to shatter our sense of comfort and awaken us to God coming into this world. He said, bear fruits worthy of repentance. He said, if you have two coats, share with anyone who has none. He said, if you have food, offer some to someone who has none. He said, get ready to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. And he meant it. Simple things on one level, but earth-shattering and uncomfortable on another. Today is often known as Gaudete Sunday or Joy Sunday or Rose Sunday, the Sunday we light the third Advent candle, the pink one, and focus on the word joy. This may seem kind of odd when I've been talking so much about John the Baptizer and the expectations he placed on us, but also the brood of vipers he greeted long ago. The joy of this day is not joy in the sense of don't worry, be happy, not just a warm fuzzy. This is the joy of discovering deeper purpose and meaning, the kind of joy that feeds the soul, the kind of joy that John the Baptizer was actually aiming at. As we continue to live in this pandemic, continue to keep some social distancing, continue to be wary of what we do and where we go, it is this kind of joy that has actually gained a fair bit of attention. For as all of us have been hunkered down and gone into hiding for so very long, we've had time to think. To think about what is most important. We've considered a little more carefully what it is that God might be calling us toward in our lives. What are we to do with the gift that we have been given, the gift of life itself? The result of this thinking for many people is to realize how important community is, that we are part of something so much larger than just ourselves or our family unit or even our neighborhood. We need one another. We see God in one another. We are called to live, to truly live, in communion with one another, where we offer a coat or food to those living with hunger, fairness in business, or help when others have been flooded out, or compassion when it can seem very hard to find, where we offer a cup of coffee with far too much sugar and make a sandwich from the best that we have to offer. In this, there is a joy, a deep, profound, intense, spirit-filled, God-inviting joy, where we realize a deep longing known in the very heart of who we are, that we are called to something higher and greater than simply putting in our time on this planet. That the coming of Christ once more at Christmas is calling us to explore this kingdom of God, not just in a life to come, but in this moment and in this place and possibility. Bear fruits, John the Baptizer said. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Amen.